All right, we saved the ashes of the red heifer for today. Yesterday we studied how that water is used for purification, and the deeper the need is, the things are added to the water to make it have more efficacy. And with the one where you added gold, you had to drink the water to be cleansed.
Question before you start on that. When we went through the thing yesterday, Moses comes down the mountain, breaks up the golden calf, drinking water, makes people drink it. Then, having already done this, which I assume was, internalizing sin, he says, "Who's with me, get over here," and then he goes and kills 3,000 people. Why in that order? Why in the world didn't the drinking the golden calf have more purpose?
Because it did. That was its purpose, to see who was, if anyone wasn't doing it sincerely, only as a...
I see. Only somebody made me do it instead of voluntary. God, thank you.
So it had to be in that order. You have to, God is never going to violate your position. So... And this is true in everything. That's why you can't come to the end until you see the end. You can't see that any thought that you have is evil for any purpose until you've seen that it's evil for any purpose. Otherwise, you'll keep using your mind and think you're sanctified. It's like we talked yesterday about you had made a decision of what you're going to do if a certain thing happens. Well, you can't do that. That's illegal. That's the position of Adam, not the position of Christ. Christ moves at the moment, he doesn't plan in advance what he's going to do. So every moment it has to be sanctified, every second. Otherwise, the garment is spotted by the flesh.
What is the evilness of spotting?
I can't hear you.
What is the evil? I'm a little confused. What is unholy about?
You got to turn something off. I can't hear what you're saying.
What is unholy or blasphemous about maybe seeing a couple hours ahead what you're going to do?
Because that's using the mind as opposed to the moment of faith. That's planning ahead. You got it? Anytime, the mind is the evil one. It cannot be used for anything except to bring forth fruit that's suitable for repentance. As long as you think that's okay, you'll continue to do it, no matter what I say, no matter what the scriptures say. Because you've somehow convinced yourself that, what it really ends up with, that there's two positions. It's all right to be spiritual when you're studying, but then you have to be carnal when you're going out and doing your stuff. And this is what Mr. Tom with an H was doing yesterday.
Isn't that crucifying the Son of Christ? It's like you denying the...
Every time you resurrect the evil one, and you resurrect the evil one, anytime you haven't totally abandoned yourself, you crucify the Son of God afresh. And you cause... what you are doing is you're saying to the Father that the blood of the covenant is an unholy thing. Again, if you think you must do it, then you can't justify it by twisting scripture some way. You have to say, "Father, I don't know what else to do."
Well, for example, for Saturday, I've already called some people to confirm for brunch. You asked me about the brunch. And it wasn't God talking to me. I don't hear God's voice saying, "Jeff, call these people." you said that God doesn't talk to me. Or, you know, my sister says it all the time about God is always talking to her. God told me to do this. God told me to do that. And,
well, I mean, that's the whole.
Sorry.
Let's go to Ezekiel 13. What did he do?
Made plans.
When?
Pass them. Go to there, go here, do that, tell this guy.
That's the fruit of the position. It isn't the thing that you do. In other words, God had to do that from the standpoint of God. You know, God had to make that transpire so that he could fulfill all of the law. He didn't think about it. It was God. He was empty before God at all times.
I remember the story. And as I recall, it was somebody who asked Jesus, what will you have us do to do the Passover? And Jesus said, go into the city, follow the guy with the ass, tell him the master says, prepare the upper room. Right. So, I understand what you're saying, because at the point where somebody says, you know, what do I do? You can, not that's what I'm planning, to say, do this. At the point where I pick up the phone and somebody says, we're offering you a job, that's the only point that I have to worry about, you know, am I going to take this job or not?
Right.
I was using it as, God, if this is what you insist on, I'll do it, you know. But that's wrong. That was the wrong answer, you know, because I was deciding ahead of time, and I see the point of deciding ahead of time. And so the answer to Jeff is the same answer. You know, when you're asked to do something, that's what you do. You know, what are we going to have for this cookout? I didn't know a cookout on Saturday. We're going to have a cookout on Saturday. You know, someone's got to call people up and say,
who's going to have a cookout on Saturday?
What is this Saturday? You're talking about the brunch, the morning brunch.
Okay, brunch on Saturday. What do I know? I don't know what, the first thing I heard, the first time I heard it was just 2 minutes ago when Jeff said it. But the thing is that's the point.
No, the point of it is, I can't remember. I probably asked him who's coming on Saturday.
Okay.
Now, is that planning? I don't know. It just came to my mind. Yeah. I don't do it every day.
Yeah, no, I understand. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the difference between planning and just being, you know. The thought drifts through your mind, who's coming on Saturday? So you ask Jeff. So Jeff then is stuck in this situation where he gets to decide, am I supposed to plan or am I just supposed to react?
Well, let me give you another example. Barbara, this was the most difficult thing for Barbara. So her deal was, if I asked her to do something, if she had any doubt about it, she wouldn't do it. And she didn't tell me she wasn't going to do it. Well, that's not being in subjection to the order that you've been placed under. And so the whole, she was using, I can talk about her since she isn't here. She was using the mystery of abandonment and the cloud and all that other to justify some internal laziness. Now, again, I have to face this all the time. I mean, you know, we've been out of, Trinity Foundation has been out of money constantly, except for one time. Many times I've tried to raise funds. It just doesn't work. And so I still think about it every once in a while, but then I have to say, Father, forgive me. I never justify the use of my mind, even though situations seem to tell me that I need to do that. I can't do that. If I do that, I violate everything that I'm about. If you feel like you have to do it, if you have to return to cause and effect for some reason, you have to return, go back to the world. The mystery of God says you have gone back to Egypt without counsel, my counsel. And that's what they were condemned for. It has to be, no matter what it is, abandonment of self is always the predicate. It's always, from God's standpoint, the default position. If you feel like you must use your mind for some reason, you cannot in any way justify it and say that's the right thing to do. You must confess to the Father that this is what I have to do. You, if there's some other way, you must reveal it to me.
Yeah. I mean, for all the people who say that God talks to me, this is the answer. You know, if you say to God, I'm going to do this, you know, because I don't know what else to do, then he's got the choice. He gets to say, no, I'm actually going to talk to Tom this time and tell him, no, you're not going to do that.
Well, he talks to you by
the doubt.
The doubt. The doubt becomes the command of God.
Yeah, I understand.
But it doesn't justify you deciding you're going to do that something in advance.
I know. That's the point of having said that, you know, to God. You know, I don't know what else to do. This is what I'm going to do.
But you must always take the lowest position. Otherwise, if you justify the use of your mind, you're just a slave in Egypt or Babylon. Amen.
I was thinking at this point we talk about you can't sit in this room and get all spiritualized and then walk out the door and all leave it here. So the scripture where it says, as he is in the world, so are we. That crosses the threshold, and that means that life isn't here. It's here and there. And that's where it gets proven, tested.
I know, but you don't justify anything doing. He's as he is in the world, so are we, if we abandon ourselves. If not, then we're just another Gentile. That's the first thing he said to his disciples.
I don't deny that. I know that quite well.
All right.
But so then I guess we're like a watchman on a tower, waiting to see when this self is going to
transgress,
cross over, whatever. And then that's when repentance would.
Anytime it's used, there has to be repentance.
Yeah.
It seems to me that it could also be that as he is in the world, so are we, is a commandment more than some kind of general statement that this is, you know, always true regardless of where you have your eyes fixed.
No, it's not. It has nothing to do with where you are. It has to do where he is.
I know.
But he is when he's revealed in you only in your abandonment of self.
Yes, and that's what I was saying about that. If the commandment is as he is in the world, so are we, that tells you you're supposed to abandon yourself. If you haven't, then you have something to repent of.
Right.
I don't think that's a commandment, though.
It doesn't matter. It's a statement of fact.
It's a statement. Otherwise, it's the commandment means it's a law.
It's like this thing that I think is the the affirmation of, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. I have no self but thee, I have no will but thine. That's not a prayer, it's an affirmation, so that you can be in agreement with the Father and with the Son. But anything else other than that is simply you either return to Babylon or the world for some reason. And if you think you'd have to do that, then you must take the lowest seat. And I don't know, you don't like the must, but it's there.
You're right. I mean, everything leads to repentance. That's why I said the word commandment.
It's to me, no, it's not a command.
They've always been the measuring stick that tells me I need to repent.
But also, as what would you say, Gary, as Christ is in the world, we are. So as he is in the world, so are we. So that you walk out and there's no threshold. Everything we hear, see, or about, here we talk about it, confirm it, deny it, amen it, consider it.
But you must see that it's only when we have abandoned ourselves that is true. It's not true if you just walk across the street and start using your mind.
So assuming you're abandoned, now you're out there as he is.
No. Assuming you're abandoned at all times. So the minute you use your mind, then you have essentially crucified the Son of God afresh.
Okay, but if we can get into the you have done it for a moment.
Okay.
Now here you are out in the world doing stuff. It's not about you. It's just about you are being who you are, doing what you do, what has been given you to do, and you do it.
If you have to use your mind for it, you have to repent of it.
You're doing math. You're doing a crossword puzzle.
If you use my mind, I repent.
Every time you write a letter down there, you have to repent.
No. It's just an exercise. I'm not doing anything with it. It's just an exercise. In my case, it's an exercise to make sure that I don't have Alzheimer's. That's pretty good. Now I can do almost every day in the New York Times. Before, I couldn't do any of them. But that's not the point.
Well,
the point is, if you use your mind for any purpose, for the purpose of something that benefits you, I mean, you got to go back to the first thing he said. Abandon yourself. Apodiomai. It means total denial of your existence.
But denial itself doesn't put you in a catatonic state.
It puts you in an abandoned state.
An abandoned state, which is different. So things, you can be abandoned and doing all kinds of stuff. Now,
you can't be abandoned if you use your mind.
I don't know that I have this complete, but as I was listening to this, I was reminded of the wicked son who had a real impression on me. It's always had a real impression on me. It had an extra big impression on me when I was trying to write the thing. And the wicked son says, of what use is this to you? And I think that's what when you say use your mind, that's the use. He's using the same use. How do I benefit from this? It's not a question of can I do math? Can I do a crossword puzzle? Of what use is this to me? How can I increase my selfhood by using my mind? And I think that's the use that you're opposed to, and I understand that being opposed to. I do not understand, you know, can I remember a telephone number? Can I do a crossword puzzle? But those are immaterial because I'm not going to get any value to myself from those things.
Well, it's a slippery slope. It's a place where you must be where you're in total trust. Where you no more, you're a totally different being. You don't even know the same things you knew before. It's like everything that you have that you thought was a talent, that's what our know-how. That's what you're tested against. We've gone through this so many times, but like I've said, you're only tested by the things that you possess. I've said, and this is the only way I can say it clearly, I've never been tested with regard to having to give up being quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Because I've never had that talent, that ability. But I did, my whole basis of making money was these deal making and putting together funding packages. So that's the arena that I have been tested in. Since I've been a believer, except for a few times, you know, we raised $250,000 for the High Flight Foundation, for the astronaut. We raised lots of money for Boys Valley Ranch and for House of Faith. I raised $2.5 million to start Channel 33. And then it hit. Boom. And now we're starting to understand the thing that I didn't like about the what I had seen. Because I knew that I could no longer use my mind to benefit myself in any way. And I was tested in the things that I possessed.
I hate to leave an interview.
Well, we're not going to end up being going.
No, we're not
going to make.
Sorry.
But you're only the temptation of Jesus was a temptation to use the talents that he possessed. Your temptation is only to about the talents that you possess. You're not tempted to, you know, who knows what. You're not tempted to give up being president of the United States, but you may be tempted by the talent you possess in regard to, in Gary's case, running a company. No. You're tested by not using anything that you possess. I mean, this is the goal of what the renewal of the mind is about. This is the totality of it. It sounds ludicrous until you start thinking about what he was tested. He was tested to use his power as God of this, to essentially become the God of this world. He was tested to whether or not to heal everybody. Well, he had to heal some people to know he possessed the talent. But then he had to give it up. He had to be tested by the ability to make food out of nothing. But then he gave it up. He had to be tested to know that he had the ability to raise people from the dead. Why didn't he raise everybody? Because it was only about his test. It wasn't about the people. This is why you must prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God in you. And that is what sanctification is. It's always about emptying. It's not using the talents that you possess to benefit God. He doesn't want your talents. He wants the revelation of Christ in you. This is why you're not conformed to this world. There's no value system. This is why, if you esteem anything the world esteems, then you know you're on a slip. You're going the wrong way. If you want anything that the world wants, you're going the wrong way. Does that communicate? But if you're in a position where you feel that you have to use cause and effect, you can't justify it. You have to say, Father, this is all I know to do right now. Reveal it to me if this is not the way. I say that over and over and over again because it's so critical and it's so easy to forget. If it is expressed through you. If you're still using your mind, then you put him in prison again.
You can never let it go.
Let what go?
You always have to stop and do the if you repent or if you abandon or, you know.
That's the way it is.
Yeah, but it's there.
No, only if you abandon yourself. Only if you take no thought for yourself.
Can we not say that that's taken place?
No.
So then you stop the life at every moment, saying, oh, there I am, probably not.
Every time you're tempted to use your mind, or every time your mind, a thought comes, yes, you repent.
But the way continues, the truth continues, life continues.
Yeah, and but not in you.
You're in him, and his prayer would be...
But you've put him in prison again. Yeah, repentance is the only momentum.
That's not momentum, that's a stop sign.
No, repentance is always, because it's then his power, not yours. His ability, not yours. The moment you bring your mind into play, then you have put him into prison and are using your ability.
I guess then the reason that would be so is you've been made aware by your mind that something's happening rather than not being aware because there's no mental activity.
The moment you take, if I do this, this will happen, then you know you've used your mind.
Right.
That's cause and effect. You've returned to Babylon.
And when you realize that's what you're doing, you repent.
Yeah, and then he lives.
Right. So the moment there's any personal mental activity about, hey, what am I doing here? I better do this instead of that, or you start making decisions. That's the interruption of life. You repent of that and continue in him, in the faith.
But you only continue in him if you're abandoned.
Well, then abandon yourself. Do it.
But you can't pick yourself back. You can't use your mind then.
No, you abandon yourself. You stop. Now, life moves on.
His life, not yours.
That's what we're talking about.
But again, the moment you use your mind again, then you've done the same thing again.
So people are jerking around, you know. It's like
you've got to get all the pepper out of the salt shaker. You've got to get all of you out of your life. You died, and the evil one. There's not three. There's not you, the evil one, and Jesus. There's the evil one and Jesus. You've operated as a vehicle and a vessel for the evil one your whole life. That's what man is.
So then the Antichrist repents.
God put this incredible mystery that says the only thing that can please God by the use of your mind is repentance. That's why you bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And you suitable for repentance. And therefore you must see the emptiness and vanity of all the use of your mind. If you don't see that, then I'm just talking to air.
But it sounds like you're talking about the Antichrist has the ability to repent.
There's a cross. God's in control of all of it.
Right.
But you understand, you've got to hear this, Gary. You have never existed. The Antichrist invented you. That's what it means for you to be the 666.
Given.
Okay. The only time that wasn't true was that period of time before you became aware of yourself as a small baby.
Yeah, but this isn't
the
point.
But that's why it says, unless you be converted and become as that little child, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. That's a whole mystery of life as a believer, is leaving that place, of returning to the place without self-awareness, without the use of the being everything that Satan took, and now has used, the human race has used, has to die. So you become as that darling infant without self-awareness. That's the whole mystery of sanctification. You're transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind. And the renewal process is to end up with the mind of Christ. Total emptiness, 24 hours a day.
Okay, but my question and point is, are there three here? You say there are
God's in control of all
so,
of it.
So there must be another one. Which
no,
is,
the third one is God. And he's saying the Antichrist, that mind, can come has to come to the end of itself and see that its function is wounds and bruises and putrefying sore. That's why the reading that we just read for Ab, is except the Lord of the harvest had left us a seed, we should be as Sodom and be made like unto Gomorrah. The seed is everything. That seed is its own dynamic. But you always have the ability to, your ability to use your mind continues, but you're transformed because you deny it. You divorce yourself from your mind.
So that the Antichrist, me, and Christ are the two players.
Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to the words real carefully. Verse 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's all. That's every man. Because that he's walking according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the instead of Christ. In you. That's all you did. You walked according to the... In time past, you walked according to the course of this world. Your value systems were according to the course of this world. Your how you lived and how you thought and all of that was according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan himself. The spirit that now still is working in the children of disobedience. And that's everybody. Among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past. And the lust, the desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's who we all were. But God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So now Christ is our life. And his mind is the only mind that we have. Who, though being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped to equal, but made himself of no reputation, emptied. So he never again walked using his mind. He used his mind two or three times that we talked about, many times. But other than only because of the great thing that was about to happen to him. But other than that, he always emptied himself in every area of his life, in everything. Everything, 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 everything. And that mind is the mind that's now we have the potential for that mind, but it has to be total emptiness. That's the point.
So, and there's empty and there's deny. Empty.
They're both the same. There's repentance. There's empty. There's deny. They're all the same.
Empty could mean he gave what he had and emptied himself.
Well, that's not what. As Son of Man, he saw in his baptism his death. And so from that point, never again was his mind to be believed or given any importance to whatsoever. was always, the Father worketh and I work. Because that union was strong and sure, because he had emptied himself. The moment you don't empty, then you're walking according to the principle of power of the air, according to the course of this world. You can have Christ's name all over you, but if without the mind of Christ, you're still walking according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the course of this world. You still esteem what the world esteems. You still fear what the world fears. You still want what the world wants. And you still act like the world acts. Doesn't matter how many times you've got Christ written on you. It doesn't even benefit you that Christ is in you, because you're still walking according to the course of this world.
Benefit meaning
Christ being revealed.
Just because you're using his name and got Christian written on your chest.
Or you think that, well, he's going to, the one that, you know, that which he has begun, he will finish, is really, again, it has a condition. The condition is you see your death. And if you see your death, you'll never again use your mind. You'll be tempted to, but that's what must be given up. This is the essence of the doctrine into which we have been delivered. One more scripture and we'll quit. John 14. One verse. Verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, what's that day? The day you can say, this is the day the Lord hath made. No longer in the days of the week, or the looking for Sabbath or no Sabbath, but in him himself. And he is your Sabbath. You have entered the rest. Therefore, finally, your eye is single and your whole body is full of light. But if you have toil, then your eye is evil. Toil just means something to do. You haven't entered the rest. How can I live that way? That's the question I ask myself. How can I live? It said if he feeds the birds of the air, because he lives, you live. But your course is totally different. Now it's by faith instead of by mind.
So at any moment, see, here's where the way I'm perceiving it's like you can live by the new law of Christ.
Not even try to take advantage, you should return. If you've seen the emptiness and futility of your own mind and your own self, and then you return to it, then you will rebuild the thing that you've destroyed. Now, if you haven't seen the emptiness of your mind, then from a spiritual standpoint, you're still in the world, or in Babylon, one of the two.
You still have a lifeline.
Yeah, but you're still acting as a carnal, so you're still the child. This is this is this. There's a big bright light between the use of your mind and the use of faith.
Yeah.
All right, take it, big guy.